Today's episode of the Oasis podcast is sponsored by our brilliant patrons and by lasagna. Next time you're in the mood for a tasty pasta treat, check out lasagna.
Guess what I have for my tea? Guess what I have for my tea? It was lasagna!
All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast. As you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are okay. Today's episode is primarily a conversation I had a few days ago with a few patrons. So we set it up. We've done a few of these phone-in episodes. I think what I'm going to do is do some more of them because I get loads of questions all the time about like really cool ideas for episodes, and it tends to be more sort of phone-in topics like ranking songs or ranking live performances or discussing like, you know, various elements like that. And with the interviews and with the news, which is sort of my primary focus, I just don't get around to doing them. So what I'm going to try and do is more of these phone-in type episodes. And maybe if I, you know, don't even get involved with them, if I sort of hand it more over to patrons for them to run it. But we'll see how that goes. If you'd like to be involved in those, then the best way to do it is to sign up at patreon.com/oasispod and also to join the Discord server. So that Discord server, it's like a private chat room where different Oasis podcast listeners hang out. I'm there quite a bit. It's probably the easiest way to get in touch with me now. So yeah, if you are interested and would like to be involved in some of these sort of phone-in type discussions, then absolutely get involved and do that. That'd be fantastic. What I'm also going to do today after that bit of chat with the guys on the latest news, we really need to get back on with the Oasis A to Z feature because that's kind of gone the back burner with all the interviews I've done recently. So the next up is Dixie's Dinner, and so I've got a message on Dixie's Dinner from the guys from Having a Chat podcast. We're going to drop that in. I'll talk about it a little bit myself. Plus, I actually did an interview a few years ago now with Dixie himself. So who better to hear from than Dixie? So yeah, so it should be good fun. And then the Nick Egan part two will be coming in the next few days. You're going to get them thick and fast this week. All right, without any further ado, let's cross over to me talking with Dan and Katie and Andy about the new Liam news. All the best. Welcome to another Oasis podcast Patreon phone-in, everybody. We've got a very exciting update with some news bits to cheers. Go on. We've got, yep, cheers. We've got Andy. There you go. How you doing, Andy? Are you actually from Newcastle or just randomly the northeast?
Yeah, I was actually born in Newcastle, which the sea, you're not a true Geordie unless you're born on the banks of the Tyne. But I wasn't born on the banks of the Tyne, but I was born in Newcastle. Apparently it was the same ward that Chris Waddle was born in, but I don't know how true that is. But yeah, I live near Whitby Bay, which isn't too far from Newcastle.
Ah, fair enough. You just said like Oasis played the Whitby Bay ice rink. I was just reading that you just mentioned that on the on the Discord chat. I was just reading about that. Did you get to that one?
No, one of my mates promised us he would be able to get us all tickets, and it just sold out in a flash. So I missed out on that. And I missed out on the, I had a ticket for the Riverside in 94. But like I said, I decided to go on holiday with my mates at the last minute. So
ended up not going. And that's the one. The ticket. You still got the ticket. Yeah. And that's the one where it completely kicked off and Noel smashed the guitar, wasn't it? He's getting
that's right,
ticket.
So I don't know if you can see the...
There you go, an unpulled ticket. Yeah, do a picture of that, mate. We'll stick that up on the gram.
Yeah, we'll do.
Quality.
£5 plus 30 pence booking fee.
9.894.
Wow, that is quality. Can you beat that, Dan?
What? No, not on me, no.
Dan, how you doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, all well. Not so bad in this bonkers world we live in at the minute. Yeah, all well. Trying to talk at a good level where I'm not talking too loud and I'm not talking too low. Otherwise, I'll have a screaming baby in a minute. So.
Oh, okay. How old's the baby?
It's all good. She's coming up to just over 5 months now.
5 months. Fantastic.
Yes.
You've gone so, over the point where you talk about it in weeks, because that's always that confusing.
Days are just flying by. I know exactly. All good.
Fair enough. And we've also got Katie from Sound Effects Podcast in. How are you doing, Katie?
Hello, I'm good. There's fireworks going off outside, so I don't know if you can hear them, but you might just hear little fireworks going off for no reason.
No worries.
You know what? There's been loads of them going off around ours this evening as well. I don't know if there's... Is there some set? I know there's been an Indian festival.
Diwali, maybe.
Diwali, sorry.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it's something to do with that. But there's been a lot going off around here this evening as well.
Or maybe they're celebrating the announcement of the release of a new Liam Gallagher single.
Definitely.
No, that is a segue and a half. So it was announced today that it'd been rumoured and sort of bounced around on the, I think it got leaked on like Amazon France or something. So it was around on like the forums and things like that, that Liam had a single coming up, which is called All You're Dreaming Of. It's going to be a Christmas single written by Simon Aldred. From Cherry Ghost, who's written a good few of Liam's songs or co-written, and produced by Andrew Wyatt. And it's going to be out not too far, a couple of weeks. So, yeah, very exciting. The next phase is going to be beginning. Andy, as I can see your face, what do you reckon?
I've listened to three or four seconds on his Instagram, because I was trying to find it on Twitter because I'm only on Twitter, but I saw you put a link to Instagram, so I had a quick listen. And it sounded, well, obviously Beatlesy. Really, really excited for it because that's what we know and love Liam for, the Beatles influence. So, I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, I really like the, it's got a lovely feel to it. It feels like someone compared it to the start of Keep the Home Fires Burning by the Blue Tones, which it's got that kind of brass band feel. And then also I was thinking it's a bit like The Shining, the first track off of Badly Drawn Boys' Arrow Wildebeest album. It's like... that one. Which is just that gorgeous brass sound. And then you've got that like clink, clink, clink of like that Beatles, very, very Beatles John Lennon and piano. And then it fades out. You're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
But Dan, what's your thoughts on 4 seconds of music and the title?
It's just great, isn't it? And he's mentioned that he's taken part in a video as well. So, you know, how much of him, if he is in a video or not, that's exciting. That's really exciting as well. That's great, isn't it? New music by Liam, Noel, you know, Liam or Noel, and any, you know. Yeah, really exciting, isn't it? Especially, you know, and we all love a Christmas song, don't we? Do we have a Christmas song?
Yeah, absolutely. I saw like some people argue, like it was people having an argument on my Twitter. And when if you're going to argue on someone's Twitter, then untag them, like the person who started it. I'm like, oh God, I've got like 17 notifications of people arguing. And basically the guy was saying like, you know, oh, I don't want to hear like a cheesy pop Christmas single. We want like Liam to get back to rock and roll. It's like, well, yeah, that's fine. Like I'd love to have a rock and roll album from Liam as well, but there's nothing wrong with having like a really good cheesy Christmas song, if it's a really good song. Like, that's the main thing for me. Katie, where'd you sit on that? Would you rather Liam just got back to like Oasis style rock and roll, or do you like the sort of the direction he's been in the last couple of albums?
Well, I don't mind a Christmas song as long as it's good. I really want it to be good. And I feel like it could go either way, because I don't know how to take the last two albums. Well, I loved his first album, but I did start to feel like the second album was on a trajectory towards quite cheesy pop, if he's not careful, which right. is fine. But I don't know. There's something about hearing that little clip. I just really, really want it to be really good. Like, I love a Christmas song as long as it's not cheesy. Mm. And I don't want it to be cheesy.
See, I don't mind a bit of cheese. Like, I did, like, Now That I Found You was, like, probably my favourite track of that album. And that was so cheesy. That was just pure pop, you know. But that was probably my favourite tune on that album. I loved it. It's just, you know, good pop music can be, you know, really special. And I think, if, you know, I've got a lot of faith in Simon Aldred. I think he's a very good writer. And so if, you know, if they've put together something pretty cool. And just you saying about the video, Dan, it was Anthony Byrne, the Peaky Blinders guy, has done the video, who did the video for One of Us as well. Liam thanked AB and put two and two together, and that is definitely him. So that's cool. That should be a really good video. I mean, One of Us video was brilliant. So that's exciting. And what do we think about the other big one as well, was the River gig? So what do you think? I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about that. £16.50, is it too expensive? The fact it's not live, the fact it's like recorded live. Dan, as I can see your boat race, what do you reckon? Are you going to be paying £16.50?
I'm not totally anti against it. I'm not going to like fight my corner and go, oh no, I think it's wrong. It is. Each to their own. If they want to do it, they want to do it. I think, but it's a brilliant idea. You know, it's when the camera footage came out, probably that evening or the morning. I think I saw it the morning after. The idea is brilliant, you know. I don't know. I get it. Where who came out on Twitter? One of the band members came out and said, "Oh, the reason why we didn't do it is because of all the social distancing." I totally get that. But no, the whole idea of it's brilliant. But you know, I reckon someone would just kind of rip the stream off and put it on YouTube somehow, or hopefully it'll end up on DVD. That's what I'm hoping for. It's just a different thing. I don't know, £16.50 for something that's already been recorded, but then that's obviously the same when it goes on DVD. But then for DVD, it's just, if it does go on DVD or whatever, it just feels a bit different. That, you know,
yeah.
Plus, I don't think a DVD for £16.50 you can get them for a tenner, which, you know, £6.50 is different, especially when one is still on furlough 8 months later.
Well, you do get a I was going to say, at least like with a DVD, you get something physical. You do get something physical.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you get a ticket, though. You do get like a ticket, like Willy Wonka.
Oh, that's why I need to compete with the tickets, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I've received the emails, but I haven't thoroughly looked through it. It was only until one of my close pals said that he literally bought everything. Is there more you can buy with it as well? Is there merchandise on offer?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's anything special.
I don't know what he was wafting on about. Anyway, yeah.
Andy, what do you reckon? Are you getting it?
I went on the link the other day. When did the tickets go on sale?
It was Monday morning, I think, wasn't it?
All right. Because I did go on the link over the weekend and I couldn't get one, but that'll be why, because they weren't on sale yet. I've got no problem paying that. It just looks amazing from the footage that's being released. And, you know, £16.50, it's nothing really when you think what you would normally spend on a Saturday night or whatever. I don't mean that disrespectfully to people who are furloughed and who are struggling and things like that. But, you know, I'd rather put it there as an option than it wasn't an option.
Yeah.
I think I've paid for one. The Cribs are doing one at the Cavern Club on Saturday night. And if you went on in the first 3 days, you got it half price. So I think I've paid £5 for that. So that's on Saturday night. And I think Fontaine's DC.
Fontaine's on Monday night, Brixton, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's about £10. So when you think of the production, the extra production required if you're on a boat on the Thames, yeah. All the fancy...
I totally understand that, yeah.
I think it's a reasonable price, to be honest. And I wonder if you should have maybe done it through Sky Box Office or something and given something to the NHS, because I don't know if you can watch these things on your telly. I haven't tried it yet. I'm assuming you just connect your laptop up or something like that. But if you could have got it in like Ultra HD or something fancy, you know?
Yeah, I think it's through you have to like Chromecast it. It's not like you can just do a TV. It's not going to be on a TV channel. Yeah, you do have to like, you know, download it on an app and then you can Chromecast it onto your TV from your app or whatever. So like it's not ideal. I mean, most people these days with smart TVs, you'll be able to get it onto your TV, however you do it. But yeah, there's something different about even that step, you know what I mean? If I'm watching like the boxing and I often like on a Saturday, cause I'm a big boxing fan, and I like on a Saturday night, I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay for this pay-per-view. And I just think, I'll go on then. I'll just press okay and then just stick it on. It's not like you have to physically fork out the 20 quid. It just goes on, doesn't it? And so, whereas I think that it's there, it's on the TV. I can just press okay and it appears. Whereas if I'm like, I've got to go on my computer, I've got to plug it in, I've got to, you know what I mean? That's sort of that extra sort of step, isn't it? It's slightly less convenient. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be doing it just because like, obviously I have to. To be honest, would I, if I wasn't doing the Oasis podcast, would I be doing it? Probably not. I probably would hang around and wait around for YouTube the next day. I probably shouldn't say that, should I? But like, you know, we're doing the Oasis podcast. I think that the main thing for me is going to be being there on the evening, like on the Twitter or whatever, and people like sharing and you know, that will be part of the event. I think we'll be watching it live and just people buzzing off of seeing him do it live. He'll be good.
No disrespect to the band that he has, but I was, when I saw the camera footage, I was trying to like really look and see, is that Alan White? Oh no, it's not Alan White. Oh man.
I tell you what, that would make it, that I'm buying that then. If Alan White's there, £16.50, no problem at all.
I'll pay a subscription price.
Yeah. What about you, Katie? Are you gonna buy it, do you think?
I haven't got it. I don't know if I will, but I do think it is actually a really nice idea. And the reason for that, I just think it keeps people in work, because so many musicians are losing their jobs and can't work at the moment. And by Liam coming forward and doing something like this, he's instantly giving people work. And I think that's really lovely. And actually, if more artists did that, you could keep the profession alive, so that when, you know, things, I don't know when or if things would go back, but at least people will still have jobs at the end of it. And I kind of think that's a really nice thing, that because presumably part of this £16.50 goes towards like the crew and the sound technicians, whoever's involved. I think it's great. I don't know what you think about that.
No, definitely. Well, I assume they've all been paid already. You know what I mean? That's the difference. Like, because it's already been filmed. It's not like, you know, when I booked Water Rats to do the live event, and you're like, well, I've got to pay for the venue, you know, and then if people don't turn up and buy tickets, then you just lose money and that's it. So I suppose at the moment, like Warner's or whoever's funded this, Warner's or Liam himself or wherever it's coming from, will be out of pocket at the moment, because all those people, all the engineers and the boat hire company and all these different people will have had to be paid to go. It's not going to be paid on a promise, I wouldn't have thought. So yeah, so they've taken a chance thinking, okay, well, you know, we're going to have to sell at least, I don't know, like 5,000 to cover all our costs, and then anything over that's going to be profit. But it will be interesting. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it does. I mean, you probably will never know if it did make money, but no, I completely agree. That's one of the reasons why I am happy to pay for it, is just the knowledge that like it is keeping people in work. So I saw someone saying, oh, Liam's a millionaire, he should pay for it and make it free. Like, well, yeah, Liam is a millionaire, but I don't think he's like a multi-millionaire. I think he's got like maybe, you know, 4 or 5 million, I would have thought. I don't think he's like, you know, he's not going to throw away however many 100,000 it would have cost to set this up. You know, so it's, you know, that's a lovely idea, but come on, in reality, that's never going to happen. And I think that, like, you know, £16.50, I think is fair. Like, the one point I made is it would have been nice, like, if there had been some sort of like, here's a link for like NHS workers or like, you know, other key workers or something, would have been nice. But I don't really know how you'd manage to do that. It would have been quite tricky to do that. So it's a bit difficult, but.
He postponed his O2 gig, didn't he, till like next spring?
I don't know. What was that?
The NHS O2 gig.
Oh,
he's postponed that to next spring, hasn't he? Yeah. So
yeah.
Came to mind. Yeah.
But I don't know how they would figure that out, though, whether you'd have to like present, you know, when you book it, like you'd have to present your NHS staff number or something. I don't know, but they must figure out a way. But there we go. Very interesting. Anyone else got any other thoughts on those two?
I also just love the way that he just casually goes down the Thames. It's just the thought of him, Liam Gallagher on a boat, and people who were like unsuspecting passers-by are like, is that Liam? I just think that's brilliant.
That is.
Oh, it was just great, wasn't it? It was great. It was just, he was heading down to kind of the south, like the kind of the east part of the Thames, like going past Wapping and heading towards like the Isle of Dogs. And it was just like, oh, that's basically where I nearly grew up. And it was just literally, it was really weird to see that, you know, I'm not too used to seeing, you know, having many kind of, not been so many gigs or having that opportunity to see people like on your doorstep or where you used to live, you know, when you used to have to go to gigs or whatever, you used to go into central London or up into like Camden or whatever, you know, it's quite rare to have anyone on your doorstep, really.
Sorry, Dan, for someone who's from that area, am I right in thinking that you have to time the Thames when you go up the Thames, you've got to time them with the tides because some of the bridges are so low. So I wonder if you had to factor that in with his how far he went up the Thames during the gig.
Yeah, it was probably advice that, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see where he ends up.
Yeah, I mean, I love the footage. I mean, like, it did look great, like doing it at night with all the, you know, with all the lights and everything. I mean, central London does look amazing in the nighttime like that. So that is, yeah, it's just a cool setting, like we said. I was saying it was like, obviously, like the key influence is the Sex Pistols when they did it for the Jubilee. But yeah, and then there's also like, you know, Pink Floyd at Pompeii, and there's like, you know, like, oh, there's been these random sort of big gigs and things, you know, at these different places, and like the Beatles on the roof, obviously. But yeah, I think this is going to be one of those. It's like, yeah, that's, whoever thought of that, that's fantastic. It's different. It's interesting. Like, we can't do live gigs at the moment. What do? Do you do something in a studio? Do you do something from home? Like Andy Bell's been doing these little home videos. No, that's, you know, let's take a boat out. You know, it's just such a cool idea, isn't it? But yeah, all good. All good. Well, before we call it a day, have we got any other, so I don't know how caught up you guys are, but any feedback or thoughts or questions from any of the previous episodes we've put out recently?
I think the last 3, 4, or 5 that you've done have been absolutely outstanding, and the ones that you don't want to end when you're listening to them, they're so good.
All right.
So well done on that, James. I mean, all the episodes that you've done have been great, but these last few just seem to have stuck in my memory a bit more. So, yeah, excellent. Excellent work.
All right, tenors in the post, mate. Thank you. but no, it's annoying. Like, so we had Nick Brine a couple ago, and like I'm kind of my biggest critic on these because it annoys me that Nick Brine, like, he was like, oh well, you know, ooh, they were crazy days, and I'm like, okay, like, tell us why, you know, like, oh, some stories in there. Yeah. Like, and, you know, it's hard, but you don't want to, like, say, you know, go on then, tell us. But, you know, it's such a funny one. But anyway, I think it's like we are, I think I will get Nick back on again to do a bit more. And I put Nick in touch, you know, with, I said about Brian Garcia. Actually, Garcia has been in touch with him. So you wait and see on Instagram. If Brian Garcia turns up with that Wonderwall guitar, then you'll know where that's, why that's happened.
Yeah. But Brian's great, isn't he? I mean, like, he's on Facebook and with his family, and he's like, you friends of him on there, and you just a little comment, you know, and then you end up having a conversation with him. He's just such a great sound fella, isn't he, Brian?
He is. He's the loveliest guy, really. And he's not a lot of the, I think some of the collectors can be a bit kind of, I don't know, like one man up-ish and snidey, and it's a, like, my collection's better than yours sort of thing. Whereas Garcia's just cool. But that's because he has got the best collection, so he's got nothing to be, like, he's not going to be threatened by anyone, is he? Because he's got the best. But no, he's a lovely guy. He is.
When you're finishing off that, when you're finishing off the collaborations with Richard, is that coming soon? Or?
Yeah, I need to do that. I've normally got, like, I've normally got like 10 that I'm like, oh yeah, I've got to do that. Oh, I've got to do that. And then I've always then like going, oh, something shiny over there. Let's talk about Trainspotting. Oh, something shiny over there. Let's talk about like 1001 albums. So I do need to do that. Thank you for the reminder. And there's new stuff as well, like the Charlotte EP that's just come out. There's the Andrew Cushion that came out. As well, and then there's going to be the other stuff. There's going to be the Dizzy Rascal single at some point as well. That'll be interesting.
Yeah,
so that was announced. Any thoughts on?
I love the Charlotte EP.
Have you listened to it, Katie? Yeah.
Yeah, or the one where Noel was playing the guitar on it. That one.
Yeah, Mind Contorted.
Yeah. I love that. I thought it was really nice. I kind of wish Noel would do songs like that, actually.
And I know if you saw me now, you would be much perplexed. And I know if you saw me now, your mind would be contorted. But I love you. Every time I think of you, the sun shines brightly on my soul. But there's something missing. Part of you, part of the whole.
It's interesting, wasn't it? Charlotte's voice is so, it's so like childlike, and like I have listened to quite a bit of her stuff, and I like a lot of it, and then a lot of it I just find a bit difficult. But yeah, she's got this like really childlike voice when she sings, and it's really lovely, but it's also like a little bit strange. But yeah, well, that's I was really surprised by Charlotte. I think from having seen her in her cape and with her scissors and stuff, I assume she'd be quite French, like, you know, French, like a little bit off and a little bit cold. But she was so lovely. Like, she's so nice. Like, and I've been back and forth with her a little bit on private message since and stuff. She's really, really pleased with how the episode turned out. And yeah, really lovely. I was so surprised by that. But yeah.
I haven't had a chance to listen yet, James. Did you cover why she... Did she leave the tour?
She did. She got cancer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she got cancer. Yeah, so basically it's interesting. Like, check it out. But it's... because I wasn't 100% sure. It was only... because when she left the tour, there was like... she did quite a curious kind of Instagram post about it. And then there was some people... like, you know, Jess was sort of giving, like, you know, all supportive kind of comments and things. I'm thinking, this is, something's wrong here. This is like, she's not well. And then, yeah, and then it was. And then, so basically, I only actually found out because the news article on her website about the, about it sort of said she had cancer. And so it's then difficult then, like, yeah, because how do you broach it? There's something I was talking to Katie about. It's like, I'm not a bloody trained therapist. I'm not a trained interviewer. I don't know how to, you know, if I know someone's going to, someone's got cancer, it's like, how do you bring that up? You know, so you got cancer then, you know, it's difficult. But, you know, so I was just sort of, you know, gave her the opportunity to kind of talk about it. And I think she talked about it in a really sort of calm and reasoned way. You could tell she got a bit upset at one point and sort of pulled herself together. And yeah, and it was similar. It reminded me of the Andy Bell thing in that she said that it was the cancer that kind of drove her to really start creating and like and recording her own music and getting out this stuff that she'd recorded before. Because this track that she did with Noel is actually like 8 years old. And then Noel's come in and put this guitar on it. But yeah, and it reminded me of the Andy Bell thing where Andy had said that it was the death of David Bowie that inspired him. That David Bowie dying was like, right, I've got to crack on now. I'm, you know, if Bowie's gone just like that, well, it sort of brings it a bit home. But it's interesting that, isn't it, that like that tragedy, whether it's losing Bowie or actually personal, physical, you know, you've physically got cancer, it can spur you in and make you think, right, better crack on.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I know, I've never, you know, been, you know, in that position like Charlotte, but yeah, when you've, just naturally, I guess it just naturally happens, doesn't it? You know, the risk of losing something, you know, for your livelihood, you just kind of, there's something that just goes, right, you know, got, and then you've seen probably thousands of, hundreds of thousands of people doing it in this year, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, not, yeah, for, you know, not
spurring people on to think, right, let's do it. Let's finish that. See, let's finish that album. Let's finish that book or whatever it is.
And all four of them. Yeah, exactly. Brilliant.
Yeah, no, it was great. Do you find that, Katie, in your obviously as a therapist in your other life, do you deal with like many creative people, and have you come across that phenomenon?
Yeah, I see a lot of creative people. The phenomenon of them getting more creative when they're losing something. You mean,
yeah,
like
yeah, on that in that sort of circumstance.
Yeah, I think being close to death brings you closer to life. Like, I think I find there's like some weird connection, like with people who like doing things like rock climbing and stuff like that, because there's a risk they might die. It makes them live a bit more. There seems to be something about that going on. But yeah, I think it does. My brain is a bit scrambled this evening, but it does definitely do something. No, I see it all the time, and but I don't even think that's specific to creative people. I think that's the same for most people. They're confronted with adversity. It just triggers something in you, like you kind of focus on what's important and what matters, family, friends, and you kind of don't care as much about the risks, you just kind of go for it. Like I've got a friend who had cancer actually, and she went and climbed a mountain. She probably wouldn't have done that if she didn't have cancer. So I think it does do something to people. Brandon would be a good person to ask that, right?
Yeah, Brandon. I haven't spoken to him for a while, actually. He pops up every now and then.
He does. He sends me messages like 2 o'clock in the morning our time.
Oh, does he? Okay. Yeah. Good. No, I'll have to catch up with him. I know he had a baby as well, didn't he? Which was fantastic because he was only running on one. So, yeah, fair play to him. But good. All right, well, look, let's call it a day. We took that to a deep place when we were supposed to talk about like 4 seconds of Liam Gallagher music. But all right, and I know, Katie, obviously, do you want to tell us about your sound effects? Who have you had on recently, and who have you got coming up?
Oh, yeah, so there's quite a lot coming up. I've got a bit of a backlog, but I just interviewed James McMahon, who was the he was editor of Kerrang and former features editor of Enemy. We had a really, really long chat about OCD, and that's a really interesting episode because we talk about how music journalism is like this chaotic world that kind of exacerbated everything for him. There's a few with people who have done like academic research on music. It's called Can Music Make You Sick? And my mind's gone blank, but there's quite a few others. Someone who won Britain's Got Talent, one of the singers who won Britain's Got Talent, John Anthony, his name is. Those are a few to come.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, we'll look out for them. Great work, great stuff, Eddie, as always.
Have you considered speaking to Johnny Dean out of Menswear? Because I know he's been quite vocal on Twitter lately about the problems he's had. He's had obviously quite a successful musical career in the 90s. And I think he'd be quite open and honest if you were to approach him for a podcast, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Thank you. I might try and contact him, see how he feels about that. Thank you, Andy.
That would be a great shout. Cool. All right, Andy, Dan, have you guys got anything to plug?
No. No. I've started up my own online bespoke celebration bakery. Obviously, I've used my skills and not knowing if I'd be, you know, in the industry for much longer. I've been a chef for 20 years, so I've had to register myself at home as a food business. So I've had a bit of business. So hopefully, you know, I'm just getting a few more orders for that. Obviously, the lockdown isn't helping because people are not having parties, but hopefully when that gets lifted, I'll be getting a few more orders again.
Nice one. Go on. What's that called then, mate?
Mine's called Chef's Cakes on the Hill. So I live in a town called Harold Hill, which is just in between Romford and Brentwood in Essex. So, yes.
Cool. Good. All right. Well, we'll stick the link on that. If people want to buy Dan Best Cakes, Best Cakes, that would be it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, plant-based, vegan, you know, all dietary requirements if needed.
Quality. All right.
Make them Britpop-themed, Dan, because everything Britpop-themed seems to be selling well now.
Oh, Dan, I'm doing a Cliff Richard cake for my nan this weekend. It's not really Britpop. But
he's the king of Brit. He's the granddad of Britpop. Oh, there you go.
Exactly. 80 years old now. Yeah. Looking good.
Andy, what about yourself?
No, not just messing about with GarageBand and probably bore you to death on Discord.
Brilliant. Yeah. We'll keep it coming, mate. I do love a bit of GarageBand. It's good fun. Cool. All right. Well, we're going to call it there. But thank you very much, guys. Good fun to talk, as always. And we'll see you again soon. Stay young.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
So thank you very much to Dan and Andy and Katie. And as I said earlier, we're going to start doing more of these on all the various topics. So if there's something that you'd like to be discussed, a particular topic that you think would be interesting, then do get in touch. And if you want to be involved in a future discussion episode, then, as I say, the way to do it is patreon.com/oasispod. You can sign up and become a patron of the show for from $1 per month. And and then join the Discord while you're there, you can get involved. It'd be really cool to hear from you.
Stop the clocks. James here just wanted to drop in with a little bit of a news update from when I last recorded this, which is that another chunk of the audio from All You're Dreaming Of was released, and it feels like the chorus because it's just like the All You're Dreaming Of kind of thing repeated over and over again. And we get a little bit of the behind the scenes in the video, which was cool. And also, I've been in touch with Chris Elliott. We did an interview with him last year all about Why Me, Why Not, because he did all the strings and brass. And he's done all the strings and brass on this one as well, which is absolutely amazing. It's so I'm really looking forward to hearing the rest of it, which will be coming up very soon, because I think it's due to be out on Friday. And so, yeah, by the time you listen to this, it's probably already out, actually, but there you go. All right, let's have a little bit of that, and then on with the show. All you're dreaming of. All you're dreaming of.
So now let's move over to the Oasis A to Z. And as I mentioned earlier, we are up to Digsy's Dinner, which is an album track from Definitely Maybe, released in 1994. And as you guys may know, if you're long-time listeners of the show, I love this song. There's been a long-running sort of semi-joke that the fact that I like it more than Columbia. I think it's a better song than Columbia. Columbia, I think, is quite basic. It's just three chords over and over again, and I don't really think it goes anywhere. Whereas this, I just think, is such a dynamic, beautiful, intelligent song that's got lots of different twists and turns. And a couple of really special moments of melody in just a perfect, succinct, brilliant little pop song with humour about it as well, which is just, for me, is perfection. That's all the things I like. It's just all wrapped up in this brilliant little song. But anyway, I'll talk about it a little bit more later. But first off, why don't we hear from someone who has a slightly different opinion, Digsy himself, the man who this song is named after. So this interview, this is just little bits of the interview that I did back in October 2017, so over 3 years ago, episode 30 of the podcast, if you want to dig it out and listen to it. And just to give you some context, in the episode, I was also discussing the reaction to Fort Knox that had just been released from Who Built the Moon. So there you go, that's when that happened. So yeah, anyway, I hope you enjoy this little bit of the discussion with Digsy, and then we're gonna pick up again after.
Hit record anyway, because often on these things you sort of end up chatting for about 20 minutes before you hit record and you think, oh Christ, I've missed all that good stuff. So I press record anyway, but but welcome to the Oasis podcast. Are we all right to call you Digsy, or is it Pete?
Yeah,
or...
yeah, of course, that's what
I'm known as. Yeah, that is you. Yeah, there's a, I think it might even be a song called something like that. I don't know.
I think the years, and it's a shit one of that.
It's not. You've said this.
I can't stand it.
You've said this in interviews before. It's rubbish. It's a brilliant song.
I think it's the worst song he's ever written. Richard Ashcroft got cast no shadow when I get that.
No. Mate, that is a bloody... Mate, that is a bloody... I love... Well, look, you know, you can... The merits of it or whatever, but, you know, the...
Well, it's basically... It was already... The song was already written.
Yeah.
And Noel never had the title for it.
Yeah.
And we were down at the Real People studio one night, and we were all just jamming, and I farted. And I'm singing on the mic, guess what I had for me tea? It was lasagna. And he's playing on the way on the drums, laughing his head off. And then the next day, he phoned and said, what was that? Were you singing last night? I said, oh, I don't know. Just made it up on the spot. He went, well, I've got a song. He said, so I'm going to call it Digsy's Dinner.
There we go. Spot on. But and as well, it's got that great line, hasn't it? These could be the best years of our lives, which is...
That's
his favourite
bit of it, like...
That is special. No, but that's one of the things I love about Definitely Maybe and the B-sides is that, and definitely the what you guys, what your music's had over the years as well, is there's that humour. You know, there's humour in it, and there's, you know, like you don't get Coldplay or Radiohead singing about having a lasagna, you know what I mean?
It's I think that's one of the first things why we got on so well. I think, you know, we basically all had that, you know, same sense of humour type of thing, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Good. I mean, just going back to the Oasis side of it, Digsy, then, so you get the, you know, obviously you get the the Dixie's Dinner credit, which is very cool, and I suppose has followed you around for the rest of your life.
Oh yeah, taught me to the grave, that one.
And then you get mentioned again in Be Here Now, on the Be Here Now album.
Oh yeah.
So your shit jokes remind me of Dixie's, and one of our, I can't get on to Twitter now to get it, but someone did say, I'll credit them afterwards. Can you tell us any shit jokes? Like, what were these shit jokes that was obviously so memorable?
I think what he actually means is that they're just my songs. Yeah.
But I mean, that's right. I mean,
don't do jokes. I just do reality. They just self-know. They're not jokes. They're not fictitious.
And what was it? And the other thing I like is you get mentioned in the I think it's the Definitely Maybe documentary that they put out with the album, and you're in it quite a bit.
I can't even remember filming that. You know, I was pissed. They sent a car for me.
Oh yeah.
In the morning to pick me up because they were still filming in Manchester, and took me into town. And the camera crew were delayed, so it was a bar down by the Albert Dock. So they just said, yeah, you have to wait here. Yeah, it's a free bar. So me and my mate just got sozzled. They didn't turn up until 5 o'clock, and I was rotten. It's horrible. You know, when you see it, though, I don't know if you've ever heard or seen yourself when you're pissed. It's like, you know, you cringe. Oh, no, it's not what I'm actually like.
He's a funny, funny fella. Chaos.
I'm just there to fucking take the drugs and fucking drink all that ale.
Brilliant fabulous singer, songwriter, amazing. But he sings these songs with possibly the most offensive, vicious lyrics about kids and women and fucking his mates and his next door neighbour. He fucking hates everybody.
So one night, fucking we're off our kicks, fucking nose on drums. So I'm just singing here. Guess what I have for my tea? Guess what I have for my tea? It was lasagna! And we're just going off our cake, Noel's laughing. Quiggy's on bass, Noel's laughing his tits off.
It was lasagna. Lasagna. He's screaming lasagna for ages and I'm flailing about on the fucking drums.
Noel goes, what's that tune, you fucking about lasagna? Do I know?
Went away and wrote, you know, I'd the tune.
No, goes, I've got this tune, fucking, it's got lasagna in it, can I call it Dixie's Dinner? Go on, son.
And he was fucking very, very upset.
I think it's the worst song Oasis have ever written. I fucking hate it with a vengeance.
And he wrote one called Noel's Nose or something, didn't he? Childish.
No, that song, right, it's bought me many rounds. It's got me drunk in so many places. You know what I mean?
Fire!
But it's funny, and I think Noel describes being around you as opening a box of monkeys.
Opening a bag of monkeys, yeah.
Would you say that's a fair? Would you say that's a fair summation?
Well, after seeing the footage of the documentary, I would say yes, that's a fair account, yeah.
Fair play. But yeah, I mean, that's amazing to get not only one song, like no one else I think is mentioned once in a song, yet you're mentioned twice. I mean, is it just that you're that special of a person that they just keep thinking about you?
I don't know, you'd have to ask Noel that, like.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm going to see Liam in Manchester in December, is it?
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to see Noel in London before that.
Oh yeah.
I haven't seen Liam for years, but I speak to Noel every now and then on the phone. But it'll be good to see them and catch up again, Mike.
Yeah. And is it? I mean, you've spoke to Noel. Is it? Do you think it's genuine? What's going on with him and Liam? Do you think? Because there's
room. No, it's genuine, mate.
It's genuine. Yeah. Have they literally not seen each other since Paris 2009? Do you think?
No, not that I'm aware of. They haven't seen each other, but everyone seems to think, oh, this is just a publicity stunt to sell records. But they don't need that anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think.
I mean, I'm a bit sad for them, really. I wish they would just forget about it, because it must be hard on the bleeding mum.
Yeah.
You know, to see the two sons like that fighting it out in the press and stuff. I wish they'd grow up, like.
Yeah.
Mind you, saying that, I hate my brother as well, so who am I to give advice?
Did we normally finish the, I'll edit in an Oasis track to finish with. Is there an Oasis track that particularly means a lot to you, Dixie?
I would say, I remember playing What's the Story, Morning Glory, for the first time in London after they'd done the Earl's Court. Yeah. We went to Knowles the next day, and I remember he played Hello, was it?
Yeah, Hello, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, what? That only sticks in my head, fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he was a killer for pulling this out of the air anyway, no, wasn't he? And one of my favourites is Up in the Sky.
Up in the Sky, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you call it. It's up, no, it's paperback writer, isn't it, or something
yeah.
like that.
It's pretty close, isn't
but
it?
It's a great riff, that. I love that riff.
Nice one. All right, mate. Well, we'll end with a bit of Up in the Sky. But Diggsy, enjoy your pasty, mate.
Thanks, James.
And enjoy Glasgow and try and take it a little bit easy, buddy, yeah?
Right, I won't.
Diggsy, all the best, pal.
All the best, lad. Cheers, mate. Thank you. Bye.
So that was Diggsy. What an absolute legend. As I say, that was just the Oasis chat, really. There's loads of other stuff we discussed, and it was a really, really fun discussion. And he is now on Twitter. He is at Diggsy Deary. So, yeah, make sure you go and follow him. Right, before I get on to your guys' reactions when I asked the question, like, many months ago now, because I've been meaning to get to this for a while, I've had a message in from Alex Spears, who's the host of Having a Chat. So let's hear from Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex Spears. I host a podcast called Having a Chat, where each week we chat with an interesting musician about a selection of songs that they've been listening to. You can get it everywhere you get your podcasts or at havingachat.com. And I am going to talk about one of the most underrated Oasis tunes, in my opinion, Diggsy's Dinner. Now, my fandom of Diggsy's Dinner takes me all the way back to the early days of my Oasis fandom, period. I had just seen Liam Gallagher play a solo show at a music festival in Montreal, Canada, and I immediately went out the day after and bought a copy of Definitely Maybe on vinyl. I had been exposed to the big tunes on it, you know, the obvious hits like Rock and Roll Star, Live Forever. Those were very, very familiar to me. But when I flipped it over and listened to the second side, I was exposed to a selection of tunes that completely blew me away. And in many respects, I still consider to be some of the best tunes on the album. Diggsy's Dinner comes at us after a pretty heavy set of hard-hitting tunes on that album. Columbia, Supersonic, Bring It On Down, and Cigarettes and Alcohol. Anyone who knows these tunes knows that that they are loud, they are hard-hitting. And Diggsy's Dinner, in my mind, almost serves as like a nice palate cleanser after a rich, heavy meal. It's poppy, it's upbeat, and it's about lasagna. Who writes an incredibly cool rock and roll song about lasagna? Truly something that only Noel Gallagher is capable of. The bottom line is that this is a truly fantastic, upbeat, poppy, underrated Oasis tune. It is always one of my favorites to cover, and not a single lasagna dinner goes by without me humming this one to myself. Thanks a ton to James and the Oasis podcast for having me on. And once again, you can check out my podcast, Having a Chat, anywhere you get your podcast. Just look up Having a Chat. Thanks for having me on, and we'll talk to you soon.
So thank you very much to Alex from Having a Chat. A really good podcast and really good guests recently, including Clint Boone, Peter Hook, Alan McGee's been on there, Gaz Whelan, Happy Mondays, and a bunch of other like American acts as well. So definitely worth giving it a listen. So what we do on here, if you've probably forgotten because it's been so long since we've done A to Z, but I do a poll on Twitter. I did this in July, goodness me. And we rate it from 1 to 5. And yeah, and so it got 5 got 18%, 4 got 31%, 3 got 36%, and 2 got 15%. So it's a solid 3 overall. And just to get your thoughts, so Dan Best, who we've heard from before, probably my favourite part of the Definitely Maybe DVD, meeting Diggsy is like opening a bag of monkeys. Not at all a skippable song, in the same vein as Bono's Bank Holiday, Even Round Our Way, a joyous summer feeling with a great piano solo and memorable lyrics. Yes, the piano solo, I think, on here is absolutely brilliant. That's Boned on piano, and he's crushing it. Well done, Boned. Richard Bowes, chippy, throwaway, but even then it's still got a life-affirming section. These could be the best days of our lives, which further demonstrates how untouchable they were at that point. And it's dinner, not diner. Yes, that's worth saying. So I think the first pressings of Definitely Maybe in America had it listed as Diggsy's Diner. Will Cooper says, a good measure is if I'd skip it if it came up on shuffle. Yes, I probably would and have. But not if I was listening to the album in order, though, as it's perfectly placed ahead of the best thing they ever did. Three from this correspondent. And I've never skipped Columbia, obviously. Tom Moen says, solid four, silly lyrics, but that's why we love it. Simple song, free, easy, piss-taking rock and roll. Matt at M4Tet said, plenty of other bands could have released it and it would have been a Britpop classic. But on Definitely Maybe, it's just a filler, albeit fun, sing-along one. Still can't make lasagna without singing it, much to my wife's amusement stroke annoyance. Michael Lee said, three, not as good as Bonus Bank Holiday or Columbia. Fun, great melody, but far from the band's greatest achievements. Should have been a B-side. That's interesting. We'll get to that. Britpop Memories, I've given it a three. It's a nice little song with a heartwarming tale of friendship and comradeship. These could be the best days of our lives, but I don't think we've been living very wise. It was the whole ethos of early Oasis. Speakeasy Fanzine says, this is a three for me. I've always liked this song, although Noel and Diggsy are not keen. It's not Noel's strongest song lyrically, but the line, these could be the best days of our lives, but I don't think we've been living very wise, is a fantastic line. Anyway, time for some lasagna. Paul, who is at Purdy_Bear, said 3 out of 5. It is what it is, a fun short pop song with very little meaning and relatively simple chord structure. It's nothing groundbreaking, but it does make me smile and earns a place on the album, and it is only 2.5 minutes long, so it doesn't outstay its welcome. Elliot Marsh says, fun and needed palate cleanser between aggression of cigarettes and alcohol and emotion of Slide Away. A bit throwaway for me, albeit I really miss the fun side of Oasis in later years. See also Bono's Bank Holiday and the accordion after It's Good To Be Free. Jamie Irwin, who's from the What's Your Favourite podcast, said, I went for 4. Not their best song, but still a great one that's unfairly derided. Ian Armstrong said it gave it a 2 just out of spite. Not very good, Ian. Dennis Zylstra said Diggsy's Dinner is a fun pop song with funny lyrics and a piano solo that always brings a smile to my face. The album needed a song like this. Love it. Carl might say, despite all the teasing about this song, it's actually very good. I have a memory at school in a CDT lesson where I couldn't get These Could Be the Best Days of Our Lives out of my head. It was then I realised it wasn't as good as Columbia. Alright, thanks. We Are DNA said Liam's vocals are great, stretching to hit the high notes around These Could Be the Best Days. Their most Britpop moment until Bono's Bank Holiday. It's enjoyable, but I always hate references to food in songs. Glass Onion, Savoy Truffle. 6 out of 10 or 3 out of 5 here. Trevor Duncanson, I went with a 4. Fun, nostalgic tune that was cool to see live when Noel played it in Chicago in 2015. There we go, that's a good point to drop in. Here's Noel playing it in 2015.
In 1994, when I first played in Chicago, I played at a club called the Metro, right? And for anybody, was anybody there? No chance. I know for a fact, apart from me, everybody who's at that gig is now fat and bald. I know for a fact, because it was fucking 20 years ago. Lord knows I've had a skater. She's going for all those fat bald people.
Yeah.
And then Trevor finishes off, always was a fan of the Diggsy callback in Be Here Now as well. Absolutely. Matt Dare said, pretty sure McGee describes it as a Blur piss take. Don't remember that, but that does sound like something McGee would say. Chris Park, always an underrated live tune from the early years for me. Don't think Alan White ever played it. Suited Tony McCarroll's style. Happy-go-lucky, punky pop song. Solid four. I'll get onto the live bits in a minute. Jay the Fay says, one of my least favourite Oasis tracks. Doesn't fit on the album for me. Replaced with just about any B-side that was available at the time. And then JP followed up that with Head Shrinker would have been a better fit for the album. That's an interesting shout. Mark Nolden, without wishing to be controversial, both Columbia and Diggsy's Dinner would be towards the bottom of my DM ranking. Saying that, I'll sing along and love them when I hear them. They're just not a rock and roll star or a Live Forever. Yeah, I get that. But for me, I think you need to have a little bit of something different. And while I'm not the biggest fan of Columbia, I think it's good where it's where it is on the album. You need a bit of a kind of groove-based tune at that point. But then, like we've said, this is just perfect here. Diggsy's in that gap. Before we get to Slide Away, yeah, I just think it's ideal. Mr. Killig said, please everyone take this song as it is intended, fun. After all, music is entertainment and should be a laugh. Now let's all have lasagna. Good. Gerhard Erasmus says, one of a few times Oasis channeling Blur, don't shoot me. Yeah, I can hear a little bit of Blur in there. Maybe the piano like recalls that. I think Blur did quite a few sort of piano solos. Dave Strang, never been much of a fan of it, works well on the album but would never listen to it otherwise. Two. Sean Wright, I think Noel said it's a bit Cockney and a bit Blur-esque, upbeat and chirpy, a nice piece of audio interwoven between Sigs and Slideaway. Full Metal Hackett, who is at Giddy on the Sigs, says cringeworthy, one of the worst songs of the Britpop era, in the bin. Okay. Nico Bouvet says Columbia is an anthem, best Oasis song. All right. Colin Finlayson said, the song that infamously bust Liam's voice at the Barrowlands in 1994. I didn't know that, but that's interesting. And Moo, who is Moo414, a great song and works really well on the album. Trainspotter moment, this song and the recent High Flying Birds EP track, Come On, It's All Right, both borrow lyrically from the Wonderstuff's top five hit from 1991, The Size of a Cow. Yeah, they do, I suppose. These could be the best days of our lives. Yeah, that's definitely in there. And when I posted it, I did actually tweet at Tony McCarroll to say, come on, Tony, Diggsy's Dinner's better than Columbia, isn't it? And he replied, he said, can't have that one, mate. Columbia is about the vibe. So, you know, fair enough, I suppose. He does know a little bit better than us. Chords-wise, it is an interesting tune here. So we've got the verse, the What a Life It Could Be element is G, B7, so it's a B7 on that What a Life It Could Be, which is why it's a bit of a funny chord. You've got a seventh there. If You Could Come to Mind for T is C, D. I'll Pick You Up at 3:30. That's C, add 9, so that's a C with a little finger somewhere else. 3:30, we'll have Lasagna. And then there's a C9 to a G, which is why where you get that move to from the Lasagne to the Nya. And it resolves on the G, which is why it sounds quite pleasing when it goes on to the lasagna part. And obviously it repeats that for the second part of the verse. And then the chorus is interesting because it goes, these could be the best days of our lives. That goes to E minor for the chorus. So you go into a minor for the chorus, which is interesting, which is why it has that kind of wistful feel to it, I think, because we go to that minor chord. But then the best days of our lives gives it a G, so then it goes back to major. But I don't think we'd be living on that. I don't. We go to A7. So once again, it's a minor chord, but it's also a seventh chord as well. So that's why it's a little bit wistful. That's why it's a little bit quirky there. Living Very Wise goes to a B. These can be the best days of our lives, but I don't think we could be living very wise. Oh, no. And then we return back to the same chord sequence for the What a Life It Would Be sort of section. So, and that's basically what it does. It plays through those things. So while it is simple, you know, it isn't the most simple song that Oasis have done. There is more than sort of two or three chords. We've got sevenths, we've got minor and major thrown in there. And then, yeah, we have a piano solo. So, yeah, it's just that bit different. And it's one of the only things on Definitely Maybe that does have something different. You know, most Definitely Maybe is just those same, you know, it's just the key instruments. So to have that piano solo in there, I think it's a really lovely touch. And like I said earlier, Bonad, I think, plays it really, really well. All right, let's have a think about how many times it's been played and when. So we do have a demo. So there is a demo of Dixie's Dinner. So let's have a bit, little bit of that. I'll tease you like it. And as you can hear there, there's no real major difference really between that original demo recording and then what they later go on to do. The first kind of live song, officially like live version they did of this, was the Hit in the North radio show that they did at the end of 1993, where they're joking with Hookie about leather trousers and stuff. Yeah, so let's have a little bit of that. And then they played it all throughout sort of 1994, including probably most famously in that period is the fact that it's on the Live by the Sea video. So, yeah, that's probably where I heard it the most, because as much as I listened to Definitely Maybe a lot, I probably watched the Live by the Sea video even more than I listened to Definitely Maybe. So that's probably my preferred version of the song. And then the last time they played it as a band was the Sheffield Arena gig. Just before Tony McCarroll is kicked out of the group in April 1995. And then, yeah, and then soon after that, Alan White was in. And from then, it's gone. So whether it is, I think it was pointed out in one of the comments, but whether it was Alan White didn't want to play it, or by that point they started to get sort of these new songs into the set list then that were then going to make up the next album, I don't know. But yeah, that was then gone. However, it did then come back. So like we heard earlier, Noel played it in 2015, but he also played it at the Teenage Cancer Trust gig in 2010. So let's have a bit of that. So let's just quickly look at the lyrics. Like I was saying earlier, I think these lyrics are absolutely brilliant. I love that humorous side of Oasis. You know, whether it's She's Electric or Bonus Bank Holiday, Round Our Way. So many Oasis songs in those early years have got this sort of this humorous edge. They've got these just fun little moments. You know, if someone came out with a song today that just had in the chorus, you know, we'll have lasagna. You just think, like, that's brilliant. Like, who does that? You know, no one does that. So it's just great to just have the confidence to do that. Like, imagine Noel going to, you know, oh, which song, what song are you going to play on the radio? I'm going to play this one that says, I'll pick you up at 3:30, we'll have lasagna. Really? You're going to play that one? You know, but yeah, he knew. He had the confidence to say, yeah, I am, because it's brilliant. You know, he appreciated that. And so many of my favourite bands have had that humour. You know, whether it's the Beatles or the Who or, the Smiths, they've all had that element of humour in the music. They haven't shied away from that. And so that's something I think I miss from a lot of modern bands. They just don't have that willingness to embrace the silliness, really, and the sense of humour. And yeah, so that's what we've got here. But as well as it's just lovely. And it sort of has a similar feel to me to Do You Wanna Be a Spaceman? And it is like, it's childish. It's like, you know, come around mine for tea. You know, like my mum's going to make tea after we've had a game of football. That's sort of what it feels like. You know, but it's romantic as well. I'll treat you like a queen, which is a lovely phrase. You know, my friend, you know, friends will all go green for my lasagna, that they're all going to be so jealous of lasagna. Like, people would be jealous of some meals, but would they really be jealous of a lasagna? It's not the most like prestigious of meals, but anyway, you know, it works so well. And yeah, These Could Be the Best Years of Our Lives is a rip-off from Size of a Cow by The Wonder Stuff. Well, I'm sure there's other people who have used it, but I imagine that would have probably been the most sort of recent thing that Noel had heard it when he wrote the song. But I Don't Think We'd Be Living Very Wise is just a lovely turn of phrase, though, because it's similar to in It's Getting Better by the Beatles, where he goes, I have to admit it's getting better all the time. Paul sings that line, being the optimist, and then John, being the pessimist, comes in, can't get no worse. Whereas in here we get, these could be the best days of our lives. You know, you imagine this joy, like when you're young and you're having a great time and your mate's coming round to have lasagna after you've had a game of football. But I don't think we'd be living very wise. You know, that's just so cool to have that sort of knowingness. That, yeah, these could be the best days of our lives, but if they are, bloody hell. So anyway, yeah, so look, I just think it's great, and the way that it ends just repeats it again, and then it, you know, it could just fade out or whatever, but you know, I just think it's magnificent. And like, as we said, Liam singing in it is fantastic. He doesn't sort of ham it up, he just belts it out, and the way he sings lasagna is absolutely iconic. The overall instrumentation, it really has a kick to it. I mean, we talked about the piano earlier, but the guitars throughout it just really crunch along. And that the drums are fantastic. They just rollick along and just give it so much energy. It really is a wonderful song. Anyway, that's enough of that, I think. If you have thoughts on Diggsy's Dinner and you'd like them to go in the next episode, then do get in touch, oasispod@gmail.com. And if you want to get involved in the next one, it is, unless I'm very much mistaken, Don't Go Away. And after Don't Go Away, we have Don't Look Back in Anger. So there's a couple of very, very big tunes to come. I'll treat you like a queen. I'll give you strawberries and cream. Then your friends will all go green. Then your friends will all go green. Then your friends will all go green. For my lasagna. Now, one more thing I just wanted to drop in here, because it's a sort of a last minute addition. But today I also spoke to Mark, who runs at Brits Pieces on Twitter, and he has put together a compilation album, which I just received today. I'm actually really proud of Mark. I think this is fantastic. You know, we all have these like harebrained schemes, but to actually see it through, and not just to create something like online, but to create something physical, and it really is great. So the link's going to be in the description below. You can pre-order it now, and we really want you to, because if we can get this into the charts, this compilation of new bands, indie bands, I really think we could start something. I'm hashtagging it the new Britpop revolution, because you know there's so many great bands out there, and they're just not getting played on mainstream radio, or even like Absolute and Radio X. They're not taking a chance on these new bands. They're just sort of playing the same old stuff over and over again, which is great for us, because you know, you get to revel in those brilliant 90s tunes. But come on, guys, take a risk. So you know, check out this CD, go and follow the bands, show them the support, and but here is Mark telling us all about it. All right, so welcome to the Oasis podcast. Mark from Brits and Pieces, how you doing, man?
Hi, James. Yeah, all good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No worries at all. Very exciting time. I was very, very, very excited to open the post today and see not like Final Demand bills, which you normally get, but like a CD from your good self. And it's Bits and Pieces, the album. It's finally here.
Who knew that was going to happen? Unbelievable. I still can't believe it myself. I'm holding a copy here myself as well. And I think, God, this looks professional, doesn't it? Who did that?
I tell you what, I really thought that. Like, because a lot of people, you know, like back in the day, people would do like compilation albums and, you know, and like little labels, you know, little labels would put out compilations and stuff. And it would generally be quite crappy, you know, just the normal cover that you would get from WH Smith and then like a bit of a crappy inlay card. But this is a lovely piece, like just the package itself. Like obviously the music's good in it as well, but like the package itself is absolutely beautiful.
It's just the way it's come about. It's just, and I'm blaming you for part of this, James, because it started out. Maybe I'll put a sample CD together. You know, something similar to what you'd get on the front of Select or The Enemy. A bit of a mix. Maybe some of the bands would all chip in a few quid each, and we'd just give them all out and see what happens. And I think it might have been you that said something to me on one of our chats about. You could probably aim for the charts. And I think that kind of was a bit of a catalyst. It started out in a wallet as well, just a cardboard wallet. And then somebody else said, oh, the digipacks are really nice. And it does put up the costs, but hopefully you agree that it does add to it.
Oh, mate, it just makes it look so much more professional. Like it really does. I mean, and it really feels to me like it, like the great compilations of the '90s, the Shines and you know, the best .. album in the world ever. Those ones, it just feels like that, which is, I mean, was that your big inspiration for this?
It was. Yeah, it was. It was the Shine albums. You know, people call me a Britpop account, but I need to sort of get that out here now. There are experts out there, and we all know them, Britpop Memories, etc. I was very mainstream. But yeah, it was the Shine albums and, you know, the best anthems ever. It was that sort of thing, which I really loved those because it gave you a chance to find something new. I always think that finding something new is easier if it's mixed in with something you already know. If I don't know if that makes sense to you. So if you did listen to... Yeah, I don't know, because how you discover stuff on the radio, isn't it? You hear a song.
Yeah, but that's exactly how I felt about the Shine albums, because especially at the time when things weren't as accessible as, you know, Spotify and everything is now. So, you know, you would buy like Shine 3 because it had Roll With It on it, but then you've got like, you know, the Boo Radleys, and you've got, you know, Super Furry Animals, and you've got like Gene or Supergrass or all these other bands that you might not have known, and then be like, oh, who are they? I've got to check those out. And and I mean, this definitely has that. And I suppose that's the thing as well. It's like this day and age, yes, all that music's accessible now, but there's just too much of it. And so how do you find, you know, because we haven't had compilations like this, like since Shine went away, you know, like who is there to say, ah, you know, these are the best bands from the new, and, you know, and it's been really good actually. One of the, I think the positive things that I've locked down is you've seen people like the Listen Up guys. Sam Shiner's got her like Radio Matlock show. You've got like, I mean, he's been doing it for years, but Nick at Britpop Revival would play new bands as well. And so there has been this like, okay, no, well, look, we're not hearing these indie bands on the radio anymore. Like the Evening Session isn't like basically an indie show anymore. Like you can't hear that music on mainstream radio. So
why? How did it disappear? Is it just a phase? Did it just phase out? Because they're good. We know they're good. You've listened to my CD. But I'm not sure how people do get on the radio now. What is mainstream? It's just too easy to click through to the next track before you've digested the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, and it is just, I mean, you'll hear the odd song on the radio here and there. Like I caught a bit of like Fontaine's DC on Radio 1. I caught like the Sherlock's got a little bit of radio play like a while back, but it just tends to be, you know, a little bit here and there. It's not like, you know, like it was where it was like this was the mainstay. These bands were the main thing. And so now it's sort of almost gone back the other way, that this is like the really, really underground stuff. You know, what mainstream rock and indie.
Indie is indie again.
Yeah.
Indie is alternative again. You know, it's funny you say it, because I kind of just in the background, like most people working from home at the moment, I might have sort of Absolute Radio or Radio X on. And yesterday, I think I had one of them on, just on in the background, and they played Mentz and Wide Open Space. And I was thinking, these radio stations are still heavily reliant on what we witnessed in the 90s. Mm. They're not playing as much new stuff. They are still playing a lot of Oasis, and so they should. The Blurs, the Mansons, Shed Sevens. And it's great, because you feel like we was part of something even more special than you thought it was. So it's still there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the thing. That's cool. Like, our bands are the ones that have survived in the way they have. You know, it's like the previous, like a few years older than us that were listening to, I don't know, like The Wedding Present and Flowered Up or like people like that. It's like, well, no, they haven't really. You know, they're good bands, but you know, when we have like the top 100 songs of all time and stuff like that, it tends to be, you know, it tends to be like the old classics. And then the last things that make it in, you might get like an Arctic Monkeys track or whatever, but it's the mid 90s stuff that is still stood the test of time. But it's, but then again, it's like, well, where is the next one? Who is going to help out with the next generation of bands? And like we've said, there's loads of them out there, and with Absolute Radio and with Radio X and stuff, we know that there is a massive market for people who are really into this type of music. So, I mean, when you were sort of, was there quite a difficult process to go through? Because there's 18 tracks here. Did you kind of have a specific thing you were looking for, or was it just like the just what you thought was the best, basically?
No, it started with one. I think they might have contacted me directly. A band, who I won't name, just said, you know, would you mind taking a listen to this? They're definitely influenced by Oasis. I was like, well, there's loads of bands out there. I'll have a listen. And I listened and I absolutely loved it. They're not on the CD. They couldn't for various reasons. But it made me sit up and try a few more. And I built my own playlist, as you do, on the Enemy, the streaming sites. And I created this playlist. And I thought, well, other people, it can't just be me. I seem to have created this playlist of new bands that have not necessarily a 90s sound, that's probably wrong, but they're clearly influenced by bands that I used to like listening to in my teens. And then I started to think to myself, so again, the usual Britpop bands and Oasis that we talk about, if you think about them, who were they influenced by? You know, it's 60s, 70s bands mainly. And now you've got this new generation that are looking at the 90s in the way that some of those bands looked at maybe the 70s. That's sure. The way I was looking at it anyway. So although I'd say that doesn't sound like anything like Ocean Colour Scene, but that guy has definitely listened to Steve Craddock because, yeah. You know, it's just got that feel to it. So. Yeah. No, and that's what it was. And so it built up from there, really. I put out one of those classic tweets, any recommendations for new songs? And the ones that were repeated were the ones that I had listened to, and those are the ones that I asked. And they all said, yes, would love to be part of it. There were probably about two on there that contacted me directly and asked if I'd have a listen, and the rest were all recommendations via Twitter, which is why I put a little thank you to the Twitter community. In the sleeve.
No, that's absolutely fantastic. And so is there anything like when you're listening through to the CD, like are you noticing like a particular sound, or like is this a new genre, is this a new wave of bands, do you think, like, or is it just a random collection of music that generally is kind of guitar based?
Yeah, probably option B. You know, I did worry about the order that I put the tracks in. I think it's more important if you're an album from one artist. I think it's very important. I looked back at some of the compilations of the 90s, like The Shines, and you would get a mix. You would get an Oasis next to a Space or a Pulp next to a Blur. And, you know, that might actually work. But The only common thing is they have guitars. That's the truth. Because there's a couple of acoustic ones in there.
And
how do I go from one to the other? It was very difficult.
I bet. And there's some solo artists, there's some bands. One of the things I really like about it is it really kicks off like with the Spires, and that is a great tune to get started with. You know, was there a reason why that kicks off the album?
Well, so that's just interesting how it all works out. The one I had on my original playlist was a different Spire song, and I thought, you know, that's a great intro. And when I pull it out to all the other bands, I said, look, you've got three choices. You can go with the one that I really like of yours that introduced me to you. You can go with a new one that you want to promote, or you can go with anything else that, you know, that you think would be right. I really wanted it to be their album, sure. Which I know was probably a brave thing to do. And I think it was the Spires that said, have a listen to this one. And I like that. If you've listened to it, you've got that like quiet beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm nicking this from you, James, because I listened to your podcast the other day with Nick Bryan. I like the idea, like you, like the beginning of Morning Glory, that it starts off quiet and people might accidentally whack up the volume and then be hit with that punchy start.
Fantastic.
And, you know, it's a great track, but there was a lot of tracks I could have put first, just as an opener.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And while we're talking about that, actually, Nick Bryan, who I had on recently, who engineered Morning Glory and who engineered Be Here Now, then you also got in touch with him, and he mastered this CD, and he did it for free as well. Like, that's amazing.
What is all that about? How did that happen? Like, literally the week after I watched him on TV walking around Rockfield with Noel Gallagher holding the guitar that Wonderwall was written on, he's messaging me saying, I'll master it for free. I literally sent him one question saying, I think the volumes aren't about right. Someone has offered to do it for this money. Do you think it's worth it? And he said, I'll do it for you. It was as simple as that. What a legend. Turned it around really quickly, made it all, you know, look very professional, all ready for the people to actually press the CDs as well in the format that they need. You know, there was I with a little CDR that I bought off eBay to make my own master. And then this guy comes in. Yeah, legend.
I know. And you can have that. That's there. It's in the press release. It's on the CD. That is a mark of quality if ever you've seen it. Yeah, this has been mastered by this absolute legend of the music business. Fantastic.
He's such a, yeah. Again, all of these people, James, I've not met one of them.
Mm.
I've not actually spoken to any of the artists on the phone, which I find is surreal. I've not spoken to Nick. It's all been through messaging, and it's just got this great community feel. Even a guy called Will Jones, Gas Panic Design. Will is a university student that's doing CD cover design on the side, if you like. Again, recommended by one of my followers, put me in touch with him, and he designed that great cover and artwork. It's got a great community feel. Really, really love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then about the bands, I mean, there's people on there that if you're active online and sort of this sort of online indie kind of Twitter new band space, then you've probably seen some names. There's like the Mariners, Lutras, Stanleys, City Lights. These are all people that like I know of that, you know, you've seen pop up, have had singles before and have had a bit of traction from that. And there's other people we haven't heard of, like just whether they're brand new or whether they're sort of it's an interesting one. So how did you go about choosing that? Was there a lot of people that were sort of disappointed that you didn't they didn't kind of get through this process? And also, are you thinking about a volume two? Because that's what I think, this should be a regular thing, but I don't know, that might be a lot of work for you.
I can already picture in my head exactly the same cover, but in blue. I don't know why. Oh, so, you know, beautiful. Watch out. Right. So first of all, I don't think people might listen to this and tell me I'm wrong, but I don't think I turned anyone down because I kind of did it all behind the scenes and lined them all up first. So I listened and asked the 18 bands first. So it wasn't a free for all. It wasn't a come and apply for this. And once they said yes, that was it. There was a couple of people that did say, oh, I hear you're doing this, can you have a listen? And I did add them on because there was room on the CD. But yeah, and I did actually go searching in the end because I wanted I needed a little bit more. I wouldn't have minded a few more female fronted bands, girl fronted bands. I just, you know, we had that in the 90s, you know, Sleeper, Echobelly, Elastica, you know, we had that, Lush. And all the recommendations coming in, the mix wasn't as diverse as I wanted.
Mm.
But that was what was coming in. So I did go, I asked specifically for a few people. I went searching myself and I found some great ones. It was, well, you've listened to it. You know, the ones that are on there are fantastic. So I did go searching for a few. But sure. Other than that, yeah.
Cool. Good. All right. Well, look, I'm going to ask you to pick one now. Is there one in particular that you'd like
you
us
to... You can't do that to me.
Come on, mate.
You can't.
So
let's go. I'm just going to keep it nice and easy. We can just go for the opener, isn't it? Is that a good one? One to go for?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's a great tune anyway, and it sort of follows on from what you're saying because it is a female vocal as well. And yeah, it's fantastic. It's such a great tune. Right. So we'll finish with the Spire's Other Side. But yeah, that's amazing. So Mark, where can people get hold of this CD, and where can they follow you?
So they can follow me at BritPieces. And you can buy the CD at Rough Trade. The brilliant independent Rough Trade shop offered to sell it to me. So if you go onto the Rough Trade website and search for Brits, it shows up there. Nice bright red cover. You can't miss it. And most importantly, I just need to mention that all the profit from this is going to be split equally amongst the artists on there. This is just a hobby for me. The only selfish bit for me is me being hopefully able to say at the end of it, I've got a CD in the charts, because I can't sing and I can't play an instrument. So this is the only way I'm going to do it.
You're the next Alan McGee, basically, mate.
Oh, blimey. No, you know, well, let's see if there's the volume two. I might go and talk to my kids again, you know, once this is done. I think they've forgotten who I am.
Fair enough. All right, Mark, well, it's absolutely brilliant. Well done, mate. It's a fantastic piece of work. And and here's hoping you do get into the charts. And as I said, I'd love to hear a volume two, because this is absolutely fantastic. But yeah, anyone listening, make sure you're following Mark at Brits Pieces and get this retweeted. Go and buy it, and let's try and get it in the charts. How amazing would that be?
Brilliant. Thanks very much, James, and well done for keeping the Oasis light burning as well. Fantastic podcast.
All right, so thanks to Mark. Make sure you're following him at Brits Pieces on Twitter, and head to the link in the description to buy a copy of the CD. It would be absolutely brilliant. All right, that will do it for today for this pretty epic episode, coming only about 4 days after the last one. We will be back very shortly with Nick Egan Part 2.
So for now, I just want to thank our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly, greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where we tend to put the episodes up a little bit early. And, you know, there's plenty of other stuff going on over there as well. Plus, also, the Discord is really, really great. It's a new addition. And, yeah, it's fantastic. Lots of interesting discussions going on over there. So make sure you sign up at Patreon if you can afford to chuck me a couple of quid a month. And then also, yeah, get on the Discord as well. And join the conversation. You can always email me, oasispod@gmail.com. It's always lovely to hear from you. Do review the podcast if you can on iTunes or any other sites. And do please follow on Twitter and Facebook at Oasis Podcast and Instagram Oasis Pod. And also while you're over there, if you could follow at Choose Life Pod, which is the new Trainspotting podcast, which will be coming soon, and at 1001 Albums Pod, which is the 1001 Albums podcast, which has been on the back burner, but will be coming back very shortly. In yeah, slightly different format, so I'm really looking forward to that. All right, that will do it for now. Thanks again, as ever. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Come on.